flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz in New Orleans, getting you ready for Super Bowl 59. Hear it all on WIP on Sunday. We are joined in person. First time in my run of the show having Shiel here in person. Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer joins us here. How you doing, brother?
It's great to see you guys in person. I feel like Eagles Town Hall, Eagles Super Bowl. That's when we do the in-person hits, and we got one of them this year. So it's great to see you.
This is a big one, brother.
Yeah, big game, Shiel.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question for Shiel. Why do you always wear Seattle stuff if you're from Philadelphia? You wear a Mariners hat around here the other day.
Right. Okay. He didn't live there.
Listen.
He lived there for two years.
Listen, so okay. Ike will be the only one who can relate to this. As a bald man, the hat is an accessory. It's like AI. When he wore the Boston hat, you remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't because he liked the Red Sox. When you are a bald, you got to have different colors, different fits.
Yeah.
And this happens to look great on me. So that's why I'm wearing a Seattle Supersonics.
Are you trying to prove your objectivity, Big J?
I like a green hat.
Yeah.
I can't wear a Sonics hat. This guy. I am Big J, all right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to check the receipts.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I have to say for the rest of
Look at the resume. Look at the resume.
Exactly.
Shiel, we haven't. I think we were the first ones to ask you this, and we actually started the show with it today because we never opened it up to the audience. The scenario,
yeah,
right. The 2 minute, I've 2 minutes 7 seconds. Whether you would rather have the ball down for or give it to the Chiefs up for on the 20-yard line. I believe when we first asked you, you said, "Give me the ball." Rather than giving it to Mahomes. Have you changed that at all?
I haven't. No, actually, I feel stronger about it now probably than I did a week ago.
Really?
I just feel like as much, you know, you look at the makeup of this Eagles team, and I know you probably have more faith in the defense than the offense, but it's that specific scenario. 2 minutes, 7 seconds left. You don't want Patrick Mahomes to have the football and say, you got to get a stop here. And so I feel like Jalen Hurts is going to play well in this football game. The stage is big. You don't see him crumble in those. I don't think the moment's going to be too big for him there. And so I would rather have the Eagles have the football with a chance to win it.
Ike, you want to fight with him or no? Just let him have his opinion.
No,
Ike, right. Ike's got the dish.
Listen, I got the Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go, Shiel. Class it up, Kapadia.
Yeah, yeah. I just look at it as I'd rather have the points. Right? I'd
have the lead.
Okay. I'd rather be up already with the lead.
Yeah.
And have my defense go out there. I mentioned to them last segment, this Eagles offense this year has not been in a situation where they had to run a two-minute drill to win a game late. So I don't know if I would necessarily have faith in that. We do better with the four-minute offense where we can give the ball to Saquon and let them run out the eat-up clock, right, to win games that way. And the defense has been in that situation a couple times this year, and they've come up with the big play late to win games.
Yeah, by the skin of their teeth a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's what it would be. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about this.
You can also lose by the skin of your teeth.
That's right. I mean, if they win this thing and we're reliving this Super Bowl run years to come, that Jalen Carter sack on Matthew, where if he doesn't get there right there, who knows what kind, you know, we're probably not having this conversation.
It's
funny, those moments that you need to fall your way. In 2017, there was that moment against the Falcons. You always have to have those lucky moments along the way just to get here.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing.
Yep.
You know, it's rare when you get to this game and all of a sudden who you've been all year long isn't how you win the game.
Yeah.
Usually who you've been all year long shows up in this game as well, and that's how you perform at your best. So I look at the Eagles, and I'm like, they're a team who has not had to fight to win games late in games, come from behind. I don't even know if we're in the right mindset to do that as a unit and have that confidence when you get the ball.
I think it's a great point about the defense because I'm sure you guys have felt this. I felt it listening to the station that this is a confident fan base.
Yes.
You felt that, right?
Yes.
This has not generally been a city where it's we got this, you know, in big games. They, you know, like growing up, there's always anxiety and you're thinking worst case scenario. I have never seen the Eagles fan base in a spot like this. I haven't talked to a friend, a listener, or anyone who's like, Chiefs, you know, dreading this game that the Chiefs are going to beat them. And I was trying to think about why that is, and I do think it's because this defense
is so
good.
This defense
has been so consistently good. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Matt, they've been tested. 2022, they weren't tested. You know,
right.
Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones, they weren't tested. Like, you've been tested this year by offenses that, you know, could be better than this Chiefs offense, and you've come through every time. So I think that's where the confidence comes from, and so that's why it is a hard question that you pose.
Yep. Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer with us. Sheil, you do a lot of digging in. You look at a lot of stats, look at a lot of film, talk to a lot of people. In the 2 weeks since you've been looking at this game, what has risen to you as, like, this is the matchup that will decide the game?
Feels like Spags versus Jalen Hurts in the passing game. I mean, it really does. I know that it doesn't have to be perfect. Listen, the passing game doesn't need to put the team on their back. I'm not saying that. I think you're going to be able to run the football well. I think the defense is going to play well. But I'm not expecting a blowout. I don't know about you guys. So if you're talking about just the margins and where this game is decided, Spags is just so good at finding ways to get inside a quarterback's head to create a free pass rusher, whether he's blitzing, whether it's the illusion of pressure from Jim Johnson that he learned back in the day, those types of things, just to confuse the quarterback, create that indecision. Because the lowest moments of this season have been when we're watching games and Jalen Hurts is standing back there, and you're going, what's going on here? Sack, throwaway. It feels like they can't complete a pass. You can't have that scenario come up in this game. So
the guy that you want to give the ball to at the end of
winning. Well,
yeah. I'm on your side.
I was wondering why Ike was looking at me. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't picking up the nonverbal.
Yeah.
You see, in person, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
But no, that's true. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'll change my mind by the end of this conversation.
Here we go, another one.
But I do think that's the matchup.
It.
Again, he doesn't have to throw for 300. He needs to be efficient and make those – it might be 3 to 5 plays, honestly,
right.
in the game where that's going to decide it. He needs to make those plays.
Well, and not to bring it back to that original scenario, but the Bills got the scenario we're talking about. And Spags dialed up the right thing at the right time. And Josh Allen, who's had a great season, just made the wrong play at the wrong time.
Here's the thing, and here's what I'm worried about with Spags. But see, these coaches, they get all these extra weeks to prepare, right?
Yep.
So you know on his chart, he has 2-minute offense. This is where he struggles at. This is how I'm going to attack him. So he's going to have something in his bag that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
He's going to bring you another blitz that maybe somebody else has run before that you've never seen with his guys. I don't know. You give me the lead, and I'm like, all right, I'll pray and hang on by praying for the defense to hang on.
All right, now I'm flip-flopping back to my original one. Maybe I'm wrong about this, like, but I've heard players and coaches talk all the time about when you are in a 2-minute offense and you're going up-tempo, that makes it harder on a defense to get to all the complicated stuff and all the big and all those things. So sometimes the defense is forced to play a little bit more vanilla in those situations because they got to line up and play. They don't have time. So maybe that is I'm going back. Give Jalen the football.
There it goes.
He's going to bring it home. So there you go.
That works all the way to it's that 4th and 7, 4th and 5, and you know they've called a timeout. They called that timeout so they can gather themselves and like, this is what we're going to run right now. So, but you know what? Hopefully it is a 10-point lead and we won't need to worry about it.
Yep.
And we don't have to all be sweating at the end of this game.
So this is a very basic question, but it's one we've had some debate over, and I haven't heard a lot of people answering it. And I don't want you to say talented, blah, blah, blah. Who is the better football team, the Philadelphia Eagles or the Kansas City Chiefs, all things considered?
I think the Eagles are the better football team. If I add, I mean, it's as you framed it, yes, it's sort of best team, yep, versus best quarterback is really what it is. So it's kind of that test of how much can the best quarterback in the NFL make up. I mean, they've got deficiencies on their roster. Left guard, right tackle, the wide receiver group, no one would call them above average. The running back group, no one would call them above average. Chris Jones is a great pass rusher. You look at the defensive line as a whole, it's not the best group in the world. And you just look at this Eagles team, I've never seen it in my lifetime, where especially on offense, where you've had a group this talented, where you just go up and down the depth chart. I mean, these guys, so many of these guys could go down as like a top three Eagle at their position in franchise history when their career is over. Yeah. Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith. I mean, you can.
Jalen.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so you go up and down, and they're just so talented that I think when you frame it that way and say, who has the better team, I do think that the Eagles have the better team.
All right. How confident are you the Eagles can run the ball successfully in the way that we've seen? Not just run the ball, but they've relied on the running game for big plays as well against this Kansas City Chiefs defense.
I'm confident. I was thinking about
wow.
I am. And I know, listen, I know the Chiefs can do things, but there's been a lot of defenses this year where you say this team's been good against the run or this coordinator's going to stack the box. How many times have we been on here on a Thursday for my hit saying, what was wrong with the run game last week? I mean, if there was a game in there, I don't remember it. Maybe there was one or two, but I've been thinking about Saquon Barkley and his sort of career has been building up to this moment. You know, yep, great in high school, great in college. Then he gets stuck because in football, you can't show your greatness unless your teammates are allowing you to show your greatness. That is football. And he was stuck there in New York. He gets behind this offensive line, and we've seen, I've called it the best individual offensive performance from an Eagle I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, we've
you agree?
We've gotten on the
okay,
same spot.
Yeah, same yep. thing. So I've seen that, and I just feel like there's no injury. We know, you know, he's got 2 weeks to prepare. I just feel like he's going to be so ready for this moment where it sounds crazy to say, but I almost can't envision a scenario where we're talking next week, well, Saquon only had, you know, 60 yards on 15. I honestly can't envision that scenario. I'm so confident that at some point he's going to – it doesn't mean they're going to win, but at some point he's going to have that moment where he breaks one and everyone's going crazy.
Yep.
Brian Baldinger said to us, he called him the best player in the NFL this
wow.
year. Player. You know, not just MVP. Like he said, that Saquon Barkley this year is the best player in the NFL. And I've – yeah, it'll be hard to explain to people who didn't watch this season what it felt like watching him, but it was his combination of speed, ability, elusiveness, and power. Yeah. And you're talking about that whole thing where he's been building to it. Yeah. You see it in his play
yes.
and in his eyes, you know?
Yeah, and listen, he got robbed out of getting that record over Eric Dickerson.
There
he's
it is.
Running, he's running
with anger. First time this week, I believe.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We saw Eric.
Yeah, 3-12 yeah. February 6th. Wait, so every day.
But he got robbed by his own team.
Yeah, yeah every day Ike brings up the fact that he got robbed of the record. I always mark the time of what he brings up.
I still can't believe he's had six games without 100 yards this year.
It doesn't feel
that's
like
that's
hard
it,
right?
to believe.
Yeah.
It feels like every game he's gone for a week.
I remember the Cleveland game.
Yes.
Right.
And the Cowboy game, the one in Dallas, because they didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Steelers game, I remember, because
oh, that's right,
that was
that's
passing
what cost
game.
Us the MVP.
Yes.
Yeah,
I've never
yes.
heard a broadcast talk about a running back like they talk about Saquon Barkley, where they make the
right.
point that hey, if you stack the box, that's dangerous because when he gets past there, it's over. I mean, you see these safeties in the open field, and it's over. So he's presenting problems to defenses that I really don't remember a running back being talked about this way before.
All right, Shiel, we always end with your prediction. You've been pretty good this year, even though, you know, the haters tell you that they haven't.
Thank you. Thank you.
What is – I'm being shaken by Craig Carton. Give us your prediction.
First, I want on the record that, you know, I was on the morning show, and they played a drum roll
yep.
and said, Shiel, what is your prediction for this game? I know Jack didn't, you know. He could have cut the audio and played it to make me look loyal to you guys. He didn't do that, so
he
I can tell the story.
No,
yeah.
no. Only
and
makes
only
people look bad.
Only makes me look bad. So I said, I'm sorry, but I cannot give you the prediction. It's been 8 years where I saved the prediction for the app. So I just want to prove my loyalty to you guys.
All thank
right.
you.
Having said that, I think we're getting a tight game. I really think we're getting a classic. You know, I don't think you're going to be able to relax in the fourth quarter. It's Patrick Mahomes. Nobody. He's lost by more than 8 points. I think it's five times in his entire career. his entire
half the Delaware Valley predicting a blowout.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, more than 8 points, five times in it. So it's never going to feel comfortable. It's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And the scenario that you guys just pointed out, it's going to be very similar.
Oh, boy.
Except the Eagles are going to have the ball with the lead. And Nick Sirianni is going to face a fourth and four. And he's going to have to decide. We're up by a field goal. Do I kick the field goal?
Go for it, Nick.
Or do I try to step on the throat?
Go for it, Nick.
Steps on the throat.
Yeah!
Jalen Hurts drops back. Devontae Smith, completion, kneel downs. Eagles 24, Chiefs 21. Eagles win the Super Bowl for the second time in franchise history.
There it is.
Way to lay it out, Shield.
Yeah.
The under.
Yep.
Yeah.
The important thing, right?
Yeah. All right, Shield. Well, we've loved you all year, brother.
Yes, sir, brother.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week either way, right?
Yes, sir.
That's all right.
See you guys.
All right, thanks,
Shield. Hope to see you at the parade next week.
Yeah. Carton, you want to join us?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, get Shield out of here.
Yeah.
A real football guy's getting on.
Yeah, Benedict Arnold himself, Craig Carton, just left us. He left us at the Fed.
Check.
FS1,
check,
Craig Carton.
Check.
Yeah. You still don't know how to do this?
My mic sounds nice. Check one. All right, I'm good.
How you doing, brother?
What's up, fellas?
Oh, it's so good to see you.
That guy was my boss.
I know.
Yeah, mine too at one point.
Yes.
I didn't listen to him.
Yeah, see, I was just going to ask. You didn't think I was your boss. Yeah.
No, you weren't.
Yeah.
It's only boss in title, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he was the boss of, like, the midday show.
Yeah, well.
That was the deal, WFN.
Well,
one thing
I know. Well, like, Evan looked at me as a boss.
A little bit, but the program director at FAN basically was the boss of one show.
Yes, the midday show.
And it was a three-hour show. Yeah, but I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you, man.
Look at you, big star.
Yeah.
Compton dogs, selling dogs.
No, not dogs. Selling dogs.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dogs.
Well, how are you enjoying the new show on FS1?
Which one? Oh, the one I'm doing?
Yeah.
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 It's good.
Yeah.
Look, Mark Schlereth is great. I don't know how well you guys know him or if you've ever had him on.
Yep.
But he's good because self-deprecating offensive lineman.
Yep.
And yet still reminds me that he won three Super Bowls.
So he got that
in his back pocket, yeah.
Yeah, like Greg Jennings is on our show a lot. So he came in today rocking the Packers ring. And he goes, Mark, how come you're not rocking yours? He goes, hard to fit three of them in a bag. So he's cool. And Danny, who's a radio guy from Chicago.
Danny Parkins.
He's a good dude who I didn't know prior to this. You know, look, we're all stealing money. Right? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
None of us are working.
Since we're being honest, yeah.
Yeah, like we are working. You come in, you tell a couple your jokes, you talk some sports, you go home, and you know, it's all good. Like, blessed, for sure.
Certainly beats working.
No doubt. Like, your listeners are working.
Yes.
Right.
Like, you can never lose sight of the fact. Like, I always used to say, you can't – shame on you if you come in a bad mood.
Right.
F that.
Right. We have the greatest job in the world.
Yeah. The blue-collar guys, the white-collar guys that are listening are working.
Yep.
Like, you're talking sports for 4 hours. If you come in pissy, I get out.
Yeah.
I don't hear you guys complain about traffic.
Yeah. Now.
Especially that guy.
Why?
Yeah.
He complains.
I don't complain about anything.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you don't get a raise.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you want to be his agent?
Yeah. So we had a board op at FAN. Been there for 30-plus years. Eddie Scazzeri.
Yep.
One of the great radio board ops. Just a radio lifer, right? Never asked for a raise.
Now, Jack's name is in the show, just so you know.
Eddie? It's Ike
People forget
and
that.
Fritz, right?
Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Oh, you're in the name, too?
Oh, you're the worst.
Like, don't we have to test them out first?
Oh, come on, bro.
It's your show, man.
Well, it's a big part of the reason he came back.
Yeah.
It's funny. I left IP originally in 97.
Yep.
I came back, and for a short time, I did the Brian Mitchell show.
Yep.
And B. Mitch is here, actually, sitting near
He's
you
over there. Yep.
Yeah. And I hadn't seen Brian in a while. But it dawned on me, like, a lot of people knew who I was in Philly.
Yep.
But it was the Brian Mitchell show. Ike.
I remember listening to the Brian Mitchell show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could I get an Ike Reese show with Spike Espin?
Oh, yeah, that's
Jack
fine. Okay. But Ike's the star. Ike's got to go
all
first.
All right. Okay.
And Fritz.
Don't let him divide and conquer.
Yeah. Well, that's what he does.
Divide and conquer.
So when every Monday night, Brian and I would do the Brian Mitchell show for one season, right?
And I'll never forget, like, week four, whatever it was, it's like, show's going to start. Where's B. Mitch at? Where's he at? And he was a punctual dude, right? Yeah. Professional.
Yeah.
And he comes running in, like, as we're about to go on the air. I go, man, where were you? He goes, do you know how hard it is to park a Lamborghini in this town?
Oh, man.
That's B. Mitch.
Yeah.
B. Mitch.
So, you know, big TV star now, all that stuff. One of the things that people ask me about you, because when I started working at Fan, they wanted to know what it was like to work with two specific people, Boomer and you.
Yeah.
What's Boomer like? What's Craig like? What I always say about Craig is the reason I like working with you is that Craig is, he's like a radio guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just know him when you talk
to him. I'm a radio geek for sure.
You must miss it a little bit.
I do.
Right?
100%.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, especially when, look, being on New York is such a fabric of my life and who I am. And, you know, as much as I have this kind of hate relationship now with Philadelphia, like 93 to 97 is when I learned how to do radio.
Yeah.
And even though he was a complete ass, Tom Bigby taught me how to do radio.
Right.
You know, I was in Buffalo for 7 months. Great. I was in Cleveland for a year. Did well. And then I got to Philly. I didn't know how to do radio. So even though I hated the man with a passion, he taught me how to do radio the right way. You know, and how to, you know, sell an audience on, as crazy as your belief might be, how to be unwavering in it and come to the table every day prepared. And so that started me off on a path of success. And I owe a lot of that to him. But I love radio. So, excuse me, there are moments for sure when there's an obvious, really awesome, passionate, you know, talk that you want to be a part of.
Yeah,
because you have a take on it.
Yeah.
And no one else has that take.
Yeah.
And you can't be unless you call in and force your way on, which I have done.
No doubt.
A few times.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, as a New York fan, when you're on the radio at the Fan in New York, obviously, what do? You attack Philly.
I didn't know that.
I went the other way when I got here. I was like, attack New York. Yep.
And what's crazy, like, my in-laws live in Huntington Valley. My wife is from Philadelphia.
I've always known that,
and I've been told it is not safe for me to walk on the street until after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm strangely okay with that.
Yeah.
I think you pick us? You picked the Eagles, didn't you?
So it's crazy. So
you got a pro Philly turn. I've been looking.
Yeah.
What's with that?
This
doesn't pass my smell test.
Yeah. And I'm cemented in this job, so I don't want you setting anything up.
Are you? Because I hear Macnow's gunning for it.
There it is.
You talk about a lack of talent.
Here we go.
Like, people talk about that being the heyday at IP, not with that loser.
All right.
In any event. Oh, good. You own a beer company. Great. I don't like beer. All right. In any event, the beer's, maybe it's good. I don't know. No, but like, you attack New York. I attack Philly.
Yeah.
Because it's what you do. But in August, when they got Saquon.
Yep.
All right. And I know Saquon a little bit. You guys obviously know him better than I do at this point. That was it. Because you got the best defensive line in the sport. You got the best offensive line in the sport.
Yeah.
And along the way, as you guys were going on this run, something became obvious to me. And I'm obviously not a Philly fan. And it was really troubling for me. Jalen Hurts is the most underappreciated, disrespected quarterback
in
the sport.
Talk to him. That's two of them right there.
Yeah, I don't get that. All the guy does is win. And put it this way. Let's say the Eagles do beat Kansas City, right?
Yeah.
There's only 7 quarterbacks in the history of the league.
I've heard.
So say good things about him.
I do say good things about him, but I also say critical things about him. That's my job.
Yes.
He begrudgingly says good things.
No.
But why is it going to be begrudgingly? Like, what do you want the guy to do?
Yeah, aren't you an Eagles fan?
He's a quarterback. Throw the ball accurately a lot. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah, but hold on. So you have the best running back in football.
Yeah, you can do both.
No one's going to debate that.
You can do both.
Okay. But
Kurt Warner threw the ball with Marshall Faulk back there.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if you can win by running the football, run the damn football.
All right. You're trying to get my job. I don't need that. Yeah.
If I wanted your job, I'd be sitting there.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Right.
Wait, hold on. Because last year, you almost split apart the entire locker room. When you went on the...
And by the way, turns out somebody was right. And none of you go back in time and go, we probably should apologize to Craig. He was dead right about the problems in the Eagle locker room.
All right.
So I wait for the apology.
Yeah, all right.
Insider of the year,
We didn't
apologize, but we certainly blamed it on you.
Yeah.
When it got out there.
Turns out a year later, they all came out and said, we got a problem. Yeah. Thank you, Brandon Graham.
So when I was in New York with Craig, we you were doing the responsible gaming stuff with FanDuel, visits to colleges, and I thought I saw you did a high school. Did you do a couple.
You know, it's funny. At first, a lot of high schools were like, you know, we're afraid of the conversation, you know, kids, you know, head in the sand stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they wake up one day and half their friends and their sons are gambling.
Right.
And they're like, uh-oh, we got ourselves a problem. We better do something about it. So I've started to do more high schools.
Okay.
But it's more of a college thing for sure.
Yeah. Craig does, you know, because now everybody has access, you know.
Yeah, the phones are, you know, the difference maker.
Well,
and
Ike, let me tell you, you might need to have a private talk with Ike and Jeff.
Yeah.
I'll see them during breaks, and I'll be like, hey, what are you guys talking? Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, it's what prop bet. So,
Can you please do yourself a favor? Stop betting parlays. Stop
Hold on, but you can win so much.
You're like a commercial.
Yeah.
I'm locked in on the parlay.
Call me when you win that seven-leg parlay. I'll wait for the call.
Just need one.
Let's go. I can't believe I had six legs
right,
and that last one didn't come through.
I will say I've gotten better at that. I was one of those seven-leg, eight-leg guys for a while.
Yeah.
I'm down to three- and four-leg parlays
Why?
Now.
You're not going to win.
They're fun.
You know that 90% of all the revenue of online sports books are parlays?
By the way, he works – I mean, he does stuff for FanDuel.
I'm listening. Don't worry. I'm listening. I'm listening to him. Believe me, I'm listening.
This is the problem with like high school kids and college kids.
Yeah.
Athletes, by definition, you're a competitive son of a gun, right?
Yep.
You hate to lose.
Yep.
That's the biggest segment of young guys that are gambling and getting into trouble because you don't tolerate losing. So you lose the bet you think you had locked down.
Right.
What's the natural thing to do?
Bet again.
Oh, I'm not a loser. I'm going to fight back. I used to do that. Like, I would lose $500,000 to Borgata and get in a limousine and go to Caesars. And lose there and get in a limousine and go to Trop.
Yeah.
Because you ain't all going to hold me back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Well, I give you a lot of credit. You use a lot of your power for evil, like you've done some of in here. But you watching Craig talk in front of college students, it talks about went through it.
Yeah.
Talk about it passionately.
Well,
I give
when,
you a lot of
when
credit.
When you talk about real, honest, lived experience,
Yes, sir.
You can't fake the funk on that.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And that does resonate. Whatever the experience is, if you're honest about it, and people can fact check you now, you know, it's the crazy thing about my gambling was. You wind. I know you got to take a break. It's fine. It's fine. All right. It's fine. Whatever Chevy dealership you have coming up, they'll be
fine. He's worried because Marcus Allen's coming
over. Marcus Allen hasn't played in 30 years. All right.
Oh, God.
He had one good run in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Get Carton out.
We
got
to get Carton. I don't want to. That's my issue.
By the way, Marcus Allen looks fantastic.
He does. I saw a lot
of
you, right?
He does, yes.
I ain't got that. He's older than me.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you guys go.
Well, Craig, I'm sure everyone at Fan is monitoring when your contract situation ends at FS1 because I'm sure they're terrified.
Did you say Fanatic or Fan?
Fan.
I said, don't you start.
I'll take you down, Carton. I'll take you down.
Woo!
All right.
Where's Mikey Messi?
All right.
Get him out.
By the way, they are.
Yeah.
But the best thing, it's guys that are currently on the air that are like, I hope he re-ups.
Yeah.
God.
All right, Craig.
All good.
It's great to see you,
and congrats on the success. I weren't sure.
Yeah.
All right. We weren't sure.
Get out of here. Marcus Allen joins us next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz from New Orleans.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
to WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz in New Orleans for Super Bowl 59. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be at Chickies and Pete's, so would love to see you there as we get you ready for the game as well. Joining us shortly will be Marcus Allen. Thank you to Shil Kapadia of The Ringer for joining us here, and Craig Carton, who is the thing that you can count on with Craig. Craig is 100% of the time.
He's going to start something.
Yeah, you know exactly. I was like, oh, here we go. Nobody listened to me. Blah, 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 blah. I knew we were getting that. And his story is quite a wild one as well. It's been interesting, you know, just as sort of your eyes on the ground here, to watch Radio Row day to day to day. The first day, it's just a bunch of tables and radio guys. But as you get to a day like this, it really is, and Ike said it earlier today, it really is insane to see the number of Hall of Fame level players, great players, even just normal famous people sort of walking around here. It can be, like, distracting. You know what I mean?
Well, wait till, you may see, we might wind up saying something a little bit later today, but even tomorrow, Friday, is probably the worst. I mean, not worst, I should say, but when you'll get non-athletes coming through here, the celebrities coming through here.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, this is that was the one cool thing about being in Minneapolis when we were in that whole thing, is getting a chance to see a lot of those guys.
And joining us now as he – oh, Marcus Allen.
Flip
around.
There you go. Big dog.
There it is.
He's there.
Marcus Allen joining us now. Hey, we appreciate your time, man.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Marcus is here with the Emory College of Arts and Sciences, who are doing a lot of work in CTE research and brain health and those sorts of things, which with football is always a story. It was such a huge story when the concussion stuff happened. And now it sort of feels like it's not top of the line in the press all the time, but for people like you and players and former players, it's always really, really important.
Very important. Still something that not only impacts sports, but soldiers as well.
Yes.
Emory's a leader in neuroscience,
yep.
Pharmacology, sports science, and they're doing a fantastic job. There are therapeutics and trials that help reduce the swelling short-term and long-term, I think, that they're working on. Very, very promising. One of the things that's, it's disheartening is, seeing former teammates, notice the years go by, there may be a change. Anytime that we can... promote brain health and CTE and concussions and, we find solutions to improve those things. It's just really important.
Well, and the brain is, of all the body parts, the brain's the least understood one, as far as science goes. And CTE, I think, can they even diagnose that while you're alive? It's really just by the symptoms, right?
This lady right here,
yep.
Christina,
yep.
Dr. Christina, she is like the Barry Sanders of doctors, dude. I mean, she has all the answers.
Yep.
She's close, again, working on therapeutics that are in the trials right now that are going to do some amazing things and stuff. And so, I don't know about the diagnosis,
things of
that nature and stuff. I'm just trying to bring awareness to the importance of, because it's a very violent game, a very dangerous game and stuff. And when I came along, obviously the signs of a concussion were how many fingers you got up, what year it is, and now at least they take your helmet away. They're making strides in the right directions. Obviously, the helmets have improved and stuff like that. I remember when they first started, it was just all leather. And then they went to suspension, and then they had the cushions in there. And then I don't know what it is now, but they have this whole big protective shield. So they realize that a lot of guys are being impacted. The signs may not be right away, but later on. And so we're trying to do everything we can to look out for our fellow and former players.
Marcus Allen with us. It must be cool for you to see sort of the rebirth this year of the glory of the running back. You know, for the last 10 years, that everybody talks about how you can find them, and you know, it just seems like the explosion this year with so many players having great years.
I never got sucked into that.
Oh, really?
No. I think what we get distracted, guys, by the wrong thing. I think what we've noticed is that not every team has a Lamar Jackson and a Jalen Hurts that is an actual dual threat quarterback.
Right.
They've got a lot of guys running that same system with a quarterback that's one-dimensional.
Right.
So why would you respect the quarterback to ever to run the ball?
Right.
You got running backs who are getting tackled in the backfield all the time. But if you got Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, in addition to the running backs they have, dude, if you're a defensive end, you're frozen.
Right.
You're frozen. You don't know what to do. I think he should run the ball right away. I think he should take it and just keep it. Just set the tone.
Jalen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just set the tone. It's like, okay, I know you guys are going to stop him, but I'm going to run around the corner. As soon as you run around the corner, he's going to like, oh.
Changes the game.
Then they're going to hand it off. Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think about Saquon's year this year?
An amazing year. I was actually, I know my boy Eric Dickerson, who's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
He's not going to like it, but I thought he should have went after the record.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
And I said it before. It's like, dude, it's your high school. Dude, it's your coach. It's your lineman. It's the city. It's like, and everybody's going to talk about the amount of games and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, when you get an opportunity like that, because they don't come around very often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to have break the record, but I'm not one that thinks about injury. I don't think about injury.
Right.
You can never think about that. You know what I mean?
So try to explain that to them.
Yeah. You gotta play the game, dude. And you know he would have had it by the first quarter.
And then
go sit down.
Yeah, I knew it.
That's exactly why
I asked him.
But you know what? That's something, dude. That's for your dad. That's for your mom. That's for the name in the back of the jersey, dude. Yeah. That's like, you know what I mean?
That's a big one.
But at the same time, I mean, I've always loved his humility. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like he's. You know, he's a good dude. I met him this offseason and talked to him, when he was going through his contract negotiations and stuff like that. And he was just as genuine and real as it got. Didn't come across cocky or anything like that. Was just a great guy. So to see him have that success and then to see him the way, to me, he runs down the field when his fellow running back gets his first touchdown says a lot about who he is and stuff like that. So it's like, I wouldn't say most guys, but there's some guys who would just sit on the bench and be thrilled with their own success and not the guys who are in the room with them too. And he's great. He's great at that. So
I still remember as a kid, Marcus, it's not to age you, but I remember as a kid.
Well, you just did, by the way.
Super Bowl night.
All right.
You guys versus Washington.
Hey, you know what? I remember watching you, man, right? I fell off my big wheel when you were playing.
Well, he ages us sometimes. So it's like this cycle of life.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm saying as a kid, right, that run you had in the Super Bowl, I believe it was Super Bowl 18.
Yes.
Super Bowl 18. It's still
very subtle.
One of more iconic runs.
Very subtle drop. Okay.
No. I just want to be accurate with what I'm saying. It's one of the more iconic runs in Super Bowl history.
Thanks.
You reversing field, going back 74 yards. To hit it.
You know what? I'm not supposed to remember that, but yes.
See, there you go. 74 yards, man.
No,
winning that championship. And having that run in the game.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's one of the more iconic runs of Super Bowl history. You ever think back to that game that night?
Oh, it's every Super Bowl. They highlight it. They highlight the great plays of the Super Bowl, and then obviously being a, you know, Super Bowl MVP is another thing that they sort of promote during Super Bowl time and stuff. Listen here, all I could say was I was on a roll. The first game against the Steelers, I think I scored 2 touchdowns. I gained 121. Then the next game against scored a touchdown against the Seahawks and gained 154. And then that game, just 191. And I was just I used the word several times, metaphysical. It's hard to explain, right?
Yeah.
I was in such a space, right, that I remember, and you would think that if you fumble the ball in the Super Bowl, it's like freaking panic time, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember fumbling the ball, I think, on a third play, I think. Not the third play, maybe the third time that I touched it, I should say. And I'm not quite sure about that, but it was one of the earlier times that I touched it. And I remember the ball just rolling away in slow motion. I even saw the name Roselle on it, right? And my fullback jumped on it. And I just walked back to the huddle like it was like...
Didn't bother me at all.
Really? Like,
no, I swear to you, it did not bother me.
That's just crazy.
I walked back to the huddle like it was the play, like it never happened.
Yeah. You were in a zone.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was, yeah. And it was... It was just interesting the way things happen and stuff, man. I just felt like I had eyes in the back of my head and stuff, and I just was aware of everybody in the stadium and knew where everybody in the field was and stuff. So, yeah.
Marcus Allen is with us now. 145 touchdowns, probably the greatest like short yardage back in NFL history.
Oh man, the goal line was his.
Now, so we've never asked a running back this. I wanted to ask you about it. We've had, I don't know the number, but Saquon has been stopped at the one on a long run like a huge number of times this year. And the Eagles run this play, and now the Bills run it, the tush-push play.
Yeah.
As a running back, when you see the opportunity there for a running back that is now given to the quarterback with that play, do you ever look at that play and wince and say,
oh, I listen here. There are. I felt bad at times for Todd Christensen, who was our tight end.
Yeah.
Right.
And Todd wasn't the fastest guy. Sometimes he'd catch the ball and get caught at the 1 yard line or something like that.
Yeah.
And instead of obviously throwing Todd the ball and stuff, they would hand it to me. And, and he would say, congratulations. And I would say, that was my 98th. So, no, it's like, dude, I mean, yeah, you always want to get a guy, you know, the ball to the guy that gets it down there and stuff, man. You know, one of my more disappointing games of all time to watch was when, and I love the fridge, but the fact that Walter Payton never got a touchdown.
That was here. That was in New Orleans.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. It was, right.
Yeah.
And that he didn't score. And to me, it's like with everything that Walter has done and meant to Chicago, it for him not to get that opportunity was an abject failure to me. So yeah,
that bothered me. It bothered me.
Yeah, yeah. In that case, it's a little different. I mean, hey, it's a play that's effective, you know, and I think Saquon doesn't care about touchdowns and stuff. I think he really doesn't. But in Walter's case, it was much larger.
Yeah.
It was Walter Payton who was maybe the standard at the game.
Yeah.
Not only on the field, but he's also the man of the year. I mean, he was much kind of larger than the game.
It was a sensation. It was like the Shaq of football.
Yeah. Walter Payton, man of the year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, and for that, you know, so... So there's sometimes there's things that we should do that we always don't do. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the game, and you know, I know we're just trying to win the game, but I think there's a way to win the game too. That a certain guy's done certain things that you should reward him. But in that case, Saquon doesn't care about this stuff.
Well, Marcus Allen with us. We have a very confident city going into this game in Philadelphia. How do you look at this game?
Come on, dude.
I'm very confident.
Come on.
What do you think about the game on Sunday?
Do I look like Captain Obvious still? Listen here. The Eagles have maybe one of the best rosters in all of football.
Yes, sir.
Offense, defense, everything.
Right? Yep.
But there are four times, I got to tell you, or at least five times, I thought the Chiefs were going to lose. They find a way to win. And I got to tell you this. I was wrong. I thought the Eagles were going to beat them last Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yes. I thought they were. And you know what? They didn't. So, you're going to have to beat these guys. They're not going to give you anything. All right? And they got one of the best coaches ever in the history of the game, you know, that has done a phenomenal job. Andy Reid's done a phenomenal job. All right, guys.
Yep.
So, you know what? We as fans, we want to, you know, we're intelligent people, you know, that have opinions. But the reality is, it's like, I mean, I don't know who stayed up late last night, who's nervous, who's,
right.
I don't know who broke curfew. I don't know any of that stuff, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
If that's the case, you know. Yeah. We're just making these educated guesses and stuff, but something about the Chiefs, dude, you're going to have to beat them because they're not going to give it to you. Patrick just seems to make plays all the time.
Yep. Yeah, he's terrifying.
So you're going to have to lean. You're going to have to lean on that. Hopefully it's a great game, that's all.
Well, that's fair. He picked the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm saying that the Chiefs are the defending champions.
Yep. Two times.
And not unless.
Yeah.
And again, remember, I picked the Eagles last time, and they didn't. I was like, dude, I thought they were going to dominate.
Yeah.
And after I think there was one, you know, mishap, then it just
the one fumble. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it just went the other way. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. Listen here, man. I'm a big, big. And I like Jalen, too. I got a chance to meet Jalen at the Heisman Trophy winner ceremony. He's got a chance, you know, talk to his parents and stuff like that and spend a little time for him. Love him. Love everything about him. You know? I think you guys got a great tight end. I think you guys got another Heisman Trophy winner, Smith, over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Brown, you guys got a roster. But you know what? You got to go and win it. You got to, it doesn't matter what, you got to go win.
That's true.
Yeah, you got to take it, dude. Free lunch costs $1.99.
Yeah.
Like you know that. What that means? Nothing's free.
Nothing's free.
I was going to say, you like that, Jack? Yeah. Free lunch costs $1.99.
Yeah.
I like that one, yes.
Well, man, thank you for the work you're doing.
Meaning there's nothing free in
nothing
this world.
Free.
You got to go take it, dude.
Good work on all the advocacy for brain health.
And
appreciate
you guys allowing us to come on and promote that.
Thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
There he is.
Thank you. The great Marcus Allen.
The great Marcus Allen. Marcus Hayes does not join us next. Mike Mayock joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.